Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Don't white man at work and just keep buying rounds, bro.
You got to work, careful, man, still.
One more, mate, one more. Fucking hell. Lucky I'm a drinker still.
So, welcome back. Another episode.
Next one.
Up in the air. If you ain't checked out our YouTube, I don't know what you're even doing with your life. But before we even start, yeah, let me just say something here, because I think a lot of people don't know where we actually film at. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're in the Rare Hub Studios.
Studio.
A black-owned business. You know, I remember when everyone was talking about support black businesses. This is a black-owned company here that we're using, yeah? So go and support them, www.rarehub.co.uk. Yeah? And go and check out the packages if you want to become a podcaster, how they can support you and make you become the best podcaster that you can be. But back to the episodes. I'm joined this week by the best co-host in the whole world.
YC, man, talk to me, man.
Yeah? Not like that. And we got a special guest this week, yeah? Yeah, special guest. Mm-hmm. You know, every week I say special guest. Do you know why? Everybody that comes on my show is special.
Straight.
Everybody that comes on my show is special. I don't bring lames. So
trust me.
If I haven't invited you, there's a reason.
You're a lame, bruh.
I only invite people that I believe that have special gifts to give to you, audience people that you're going to benefit from and become better. And this week we have none other than
Tawana,
hello, come
everybody.
On, man.
Nice to meet you.
Come and on. I saw Tawana. Thank I you saw guys. You. How I actually saw you was I saw you on. I think it's Delinquent. Is it Delinquent Nation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw you on Delinquent Nation, and I heard you talking, and I said, "Raw, your story is deep." So, like, I said, I need to connect with her, and we need to sit down and have a little conversation.
Simple.
Yeah. So, you know, every week I got my little mad scenarios that starts. Right now, I just want to say. Condolences to the family of Kevin Samuels.
R.I.P.
He passed away this morning.
Yeah.
Condolences to his family, innit? He's a legend and he was doing good things, innit? Regardless if people loved him or hate him.
Don't matter.
He was just a successful black man that was trying to make a better life for himself in the end.
Straight.
You know what I'm saying? And he was raising awareness on topics that I believe that were getting brushed to the corner. So love him or hate him, I don't wish death on no man.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. They say he died of a heart attack. You know me, I'm into my conspiracies.
100.
He definitely was poisoned. And then I've heard about he was on top of a woman and this and that and that.
Too much madness.
I don't really know what to believe. And I was not there, so I wouldn't know what to believe. But I know that he's gone.
R.I.P. same way, man.
Yeah, man. So condolences to his family and stuff, man. Because death is a deep thing. Like, there's people that have families, innit? It's not just the person that's dead.
Of course.
They got kids, aunties, and people that was relying on them to be that person, innit? So
yeah, no, that's true.
So,
man.
Big up Kevin Samuels for, you know, spreading his light and helping people, you know, because he helped me a lot.
Helped me too, man. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He helped me a lot just to change my mindset on a lot of things.
Mm.
So yeah, man.
Game.
That was it, man. So how's your week been, YC, man?
Long, but I'm here, man. And I mean, different day, same shit, bro. Now we go, man.
How's your week been?
My week.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's been a productive one.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a productive one this week.
Productive, yeah?
Yeah, very productive, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, that's it. So before the cameras came on, we were having a deep conversation.
Yeah,
and
man.
Every time we do this, we always go into deep conversations before cameras come on. So it's like, them ones are not for the podcast, but they are for the podcast. It's like the warm-up.
Warming, yeah.
So I was basically saying, and this is my premise. Everyone knows me. I've always got my own little mind on my own. How strong is your mind if someone brings you information on something? Can you decipher what they're actually bringing you and believe it straight away? Or do you have your own mind where you think, wait a second, this person's chatting rubbish? So basically, if I'm cool with somebody, and I've never had a problem with them, they've only been nice to me, but someone tells me something bad against that person, do I now become an enemy to that person even though they're not my enemy? That was the question that I was throwing out there. So yeah.
Go on, T.
Well, I came in a little bit further on from it, but what I was basically adding my look of twopence in there, I was basically saying people, you know, that do these things, you have people that set out to try and make people look a certain way, and they're playing their role. Because we have to look on it, there are horrible people out there that's going to try and plaster you to make you look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Whether out of jealousy or something that triggers them or something that they just feel towards you. Because at the end of the day, it's how you make people feel.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you don't have to do nothing to anyone for them to feel some type of way about you, to make them even want to spread rumors about you. Mm. And I was saying that people play their roles due to things like hiding their own insecurities and their own stuff. And I remember when you said something about, you know, about scars.
Scars, you know.
It's the scars that people carry that people that make people want to do certain things, I think. Because we all have a choice. We all go through things and we're left with scars. But I think I chimed in and I said, well, it's how you carry your scars, because some people tend to hide their scars.
They tend
to hide it and they cover it up, and then it brings out these behaviors when they hide it. They don't understand that if you don't shed light to your scars and your issues and your problems, you're going to deflect it onto other people, i.e. why you're trying to hold that person back. You know, you're trying to tell this person, oh, don't talk to him. Oh, that person's horrible, that person's this. When really and truly, in fact, they're not.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's all down to you and how you see things and how that person made you feel. You dealt with your scars? You're spreading rumors about people or trying to make someone look different in certain light? When you said the person could be nice to you and be doing, the person could be being their true, authentic self to you. And you're getting that gift from them, but because of the negativity that's being spread about them, it just sheds certain light. So we have to just know and trust our heart, I think. Because sometimes we listen to our head. We don't listen to the heart. The heart's telling you that this person's a good person. But then we got people in your head. But this person done me this the other day. And how did you approach that person for that person to react that way to you? Do you know what I mean? You have to question sometimes when people come to you about other people. Because it's how they are to that person, and they get that reaction, and they try to come.
You.
They try to come to you to try to say, "Yo, I've defined this person. This person's been horrible to me." No.
Right.
How were you to that person?
You know what? That is a breath of fresh air to hear someone actually say that from that other perspective.
It's how you come across to people,
right,
and how you make people feel.
Because not everybody's going to treat everybody the same in a relationship, and they could have been going through that kind of relationship, and it could have been that way. But now it's only being looked at as one angle. I fully understand that. And I feel like a lot of people are broken, but they don't admit that they're broken. We speak about this a lot. Like, if you're a broken person, I feel like when you're trying to get to know someone or you're trying to get in a relationship, I feel like you should be very open on your... And I'm not saying just be vulnerable. I'm not saying just be vulnerable straight away. But if you are serious about getting into a relationship and you've got certain deep scars that cut deep and you're not willing to tell that person, that relationship's never going to thrive.
Never.
It's never going to work. Yeah. Because I'm going to be dealing with demons and you're not going to understand them demons.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better for me to understand so that I know what I'm getting myself into, if I can handle it or not handle it? Does it make sense?
Yeah,
like lower your guard.
To a certain extent. So if that person is the person that you're actually serious about speaking to, because I feel like if it's not serious, then it is what it is. I don't need to tell you all my deep secrets, bro. We both have an idea of what we're getting ourselves into. It's just this. It's just what it is. But if I'm really trying to get deep with someone, I feel like you should tell the person some of your traumas, because them things are the things that are going to make you the way that you are. Some girls are going to be cold and people will be like, oh, she's like this, she's like that. But she went through so much shit in her life mm-hmm. that you can't see that. But you're not asking the right questions. And I feel like we need to be open in this and admit that, look, I'm a broken person that's trying to heal. Because I feel like that would make relationships yeah. more, people would understand people better. Because I think the communication is a breakdown.
With genuine relationships, I've come across a lot of girls that have opened up very quickly to the wrong person and they realise that relationship crumbled and they feel even worse for opening up because they ignored the red flags.
But you know what, this is part of healing.
And I know some genuine men that they would love and appreciate a woman to just be a bit vulnerable and just to explain. Yeah. And they don't get that opportunity. They get the woman that's going to react a certain way to bring out the worst out of them.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? And it goes both ways as well. Facts. So some women, they open up and think, yeah, this is the one, and that's not the guy for you. And you open up and then you close in now. So when you meet the right guy that's willing to accommodate all that feelings and all that vulnerability and everything, you're closing up because you went with the wrong guy. And now you need healing to kind of understand where this love's coming from because you don't recognize it. You know what I mean?
But it's techie, but there's but being vulnerable is sort of admirable in the sense that you're sort of accepting your flaws and putting it out there. But it's like, I think it's hard to gauge when and where and how, because if someone's showing you the right thing, whether they're faking it or not, if someone's showing you a setting where it's like, this seems comfortable for me to move in, and you do it and it's wrong, that's not an error of you more so than the person just wasn't who you thought they were. So I feel like it's like a roll of the dice, isn't it? Like, you gotta go and just like live your truth, innit? Because I feel like if you suppress who you are, it's gonna rise to the surface eventually.
Yeah.
So like you might have to come out with it.
Yeah. And it brings back what we were talking about before you came. You know when we were saying about being open and putting stuff out there in the universe? Remember we were saying
that? Yeah, of course.
And sometimes when we love and it don't get reciprocated, we think it's wasted.
It's not.
It's never wasted.
It's never wasted.
The love you're
never
giving wasted. Out, that's you. And pure. That's what you're putting out there. That's what's going to come back tenfold. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you
know? 100%, and I truly 100% believe that. Just keep being a good person.
Simple, isn't it?
And life will always give you the ways of the good people coming in. Even like if one bad person, I think, and you said this earlier before the cameras even came on, she said you learn so many lessons from betrayal, and I feel like that is like that word should be written in gold, because sometimes we look at betrayal as if it's the worst thing because we know that we would never do certain things to certain people.
Right.
But they're doing it to us, so we feel so defeated inside. But the lessons that person's taught you is so much.
Oh, God.
Like, if I was to, just take, 50 lessons from that thing, it'd be mad. But one lesson I'll never let it make me is that it will change me as a person to the point where I stop being a good person because of the scars that I've got.
Fuck that.
But if you come to a relationship and you're not able to identify the brokenness that you have and you think you're the perfect model of a person, and then eventually the person does the same thing over and over and over again, but you're always blaming other people and not taking
accountability
then that's where the real role and problem lies.
And it goes back to hiding your scars. You know what I mean?
Of course.
It's all down to hiding it. Just bring light to it, because you know, I tell my story and I tell my story on platforms, and people have all their different reasons why they think I'm doing it. And they don't understand that I'm shedding light to my scars because it's held me captive for so long.
Thank you. Me
do
as
you
well.
Get what I'm saying? And all of us. People
everyone,
thinking
yeah.
like,
all of us.
Oh, why are this? Everyone. And oh my God, oh my God. And all of this and all these reactions. And I'm just sitting down and I'm not moved by it because I'm so confident in releasing my scars because I know what it's going to do to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if my pain can help one person or two person or 10 people, then it wasn't in vain. Because it's not about, oh my God, I've gone through this and all of that. Yeah, but you can't spend your life dwelling on what you went through and how it made you feel and how it ripped you
off.
Like, I see people spend a lifetime trying to prove to people how much their scars hurt. Like, I see people that from 10 years ago and, you know, I've been inside and come out and you're still got the same thing you're putting out to people.
Bitter.
On social media and in your group setting. Facts. It's like you don't love your friends. You don't love your family, because if you value them, you wouldn't be pressuring them with all of that. If you understand what life's all about. You know what I mean? So I think it's just down to own your stuff. Come out there, just bring it to light, and you never know how much people are going to help, and that's going to bring you good feelings, you know.
Of course,
yeah, it would.
Listen, you see, when you help someone and you know that they value that help and that one little word, and it helped them for that day,
for real,
it's going to encourage you to do more, man. It's going to encourage you to carry on doing
so
that.
What is your story? Because I've heard you say it on a lot of platforms, but
yeah,
like, give us a breakdown.
Which part?
Which part?
Was there a part when you said you went to Jamaica, or more was that?
No, I was born in Jamaica.
Born in Jamaica, cool.
Yeah, I was born in Jamaica, and my dad passed away when I was 12.
Wow.
You know, and he was killed in America. And okay. I think my dad played a big role in my life because I never knew a mum. I still don't know my mum. I never had a mum in my life. So it was always my dad, and I was always at my stepmom's house. My dad made sure I was brought up very well. You know, he was a drug dealer. And I say this because I don't want to shed no light that, oh, he was this perfect
person.
Do you understand? My dad was proud of who he was as a loving father. And I saw that loving, I felt that love from him, regardless of how society saw him. Mm. So when I speak about it, I speak about it because I have no shame when it comes to saying my dad was a drug dealer, because he made ends meet. And he made sure I was happy, and he made sure his family was happy because of what he did. It wasn't the best. But when you grow up in a certain setting and you have nothing, you kind of branch off into certain choices. And that's what I think he made. However, when I had him in my life for a while and he went, it kind of crushed me.
Right.
So then that's when I moved to this country. So mind you, me thinking, okay, I'm coming to this country. My heart is just open for like a family setting.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And then coming here and I'm thinking, okay, which I heard you saying, you know, about your mum and how she used to help people and all these things. And it brought me back a little bit where you come over and you either help people or you just take them for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those ones where I felt that I wasn't loved. I was very abused verbally, physically and emotionally, because I got told things that I don't think people that age, girls should be told that. But I sat down and I think, thinking back, I don't think I've said this on any platform before.
Mm-hmm.
I think I started to learn how humans manipulate people at the age of 14. Because when I see people treating me horrible, but then pretend when other people come over, I think that educated me.
Mm-hmm.
When I said, that's why I said with betrayal, it teaches you. My betrayal was very deep. I learned how to pinpoint betrayal at a very young age, and it's because I was at the hand of it. I used to cry on my dad's picture at nights because that was the only love I felt, and I was searching for that love and I never got it.
So did you think you were searching through that through male partners and relationships?
What, years after?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I used to think that, but then no, I think I just wanted love and comfort, because now, as I've grown and I know myself now, I'm a loving, caring person.
Mm.
But then I never believed that growing up because of the circumstances and the choices I made and the arguments I've had with people. Do you know what I mean? Survival. Mm. Survival can really trick you and make you feel like you're this horrible person, especially when you come across a certain group setting, wherever it could be in a, I don't know, friendship circle or a family circle, any form of setting, and you have to play a certain role to defend yourself or to survive. Mm. You can be painted in a negative light, and you can believe that and carry that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I think that's you. Not until you go into a dark place, where I've been inside, where I got stripped and broken, where I had to leave my three children, my babies, you know what I mean? They're my heart.
Mm.
And when I was broken, I think that's when healing started without even me wanting it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was broken, that's rock bottom.
Mm.
And that's when I started to realize all these things that, oh my God, I went through a journey. I felt this pain for this. I'm starting to meet people. I come across people inside that were similar to my abusers in the past. And I'm like, is this what God is using to heal me?
Right.
You know? So I went on a journey I got stripped fully, and I got to know myself, got to love myself, and I got to be happy again on some level, because I was very hurt and very angry.
Of course.
And I had a lot of attitude, and I thought that my shit was it. But all those things were built up because of the hurt and the disappointments and the expectations that I've had from people. Because you grow up thinking your family's supposed to love and care and protect you. And I never received any of that, because it ended when I was 12, as far as I'm concerned. Do you know what I mean? And I've never ever received that. Back to your question about relationships, on some level I think I've expected that in relationships. on some level, I think I put them in a role where, because my dad was a responsible, he was the, he was like,
he was
the,
a man's man.
He was a man's man. Mm-hmm. He was the dad for his other siblings.
Right, family.
So he was the older, and he was the one that everyone was just running when he comes about, and everyone looked up to him because my granddad passed away a long time ago, so he was like the father role for his brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for love from his siblings now in the UK when I moved here, they're grieving for their brother. So I was expecting, you know, love from
them,
people that were
grieving.
They lost their brother.
Right. And they didn't probably know how to deal with the trauma.
Me being the fruit of that loss, they're probably expecting me to probably fill that boots. Or that gap on some level.
Okay,
do you
get
what I'm saying? Okay. Because I look on it where I don't hate my family.
Yeah.
I just know that I was looking for love in the wrong places. They weren't given the love growing up. They've lost as well. So for me, for looking for that love, they never healed enough for me to go and expect this love package ready for me that my dad was giving. My dad gave me authentic love. He was like, here's your first mixtape with Tevin Campbell on it, and we're vibing.
Right.
That's the kind of dad I had. He was giving my first feelers and make sure that my parcel come down to Jamaica quick time, my little teddy, my this and that, everything's just in there. And I'm traveling to Orlando every summer. Is either I'm going or his big head would come and pop around in Jamaica in the house where I grew up, and he's there every Christmas. We're driving around, going everywhere. So I had that. So it was a lot to feel when I come here, you know, when I lost him. So to looking back now, I don't think my family was prepared to give me that. And that's what I was seeking.
Do you think someone ever gets over the grieving of a loved one? Do you think you ever, like, you can ever get over that? Because I lost my cousin like a year or two ago, and then someone, I'll never forget, like, I was saying to someone, like, bro, like, the pain still feels like the first time that he died, you know what I'm saying? And then someone said to me, look, I'll be real with you, when you lose someone that you proper love, that's proper, like, you've known all your whole life, and you lose them, you will never heal, but you will learn how to live with it.
Okay.
Right.
Would you say the same, or would you say that you just...
I want to share something with you when I went inside, because I've been grieving for my dad all my life.
Right.
Relationships, every setting. Mm. Every time I had a breakup, I'd go back to my dad's memory.
Right, that's the thing
with loss, you know.
Mm.
Every pain you experience after that loss, you go back to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to the root. Keep going back, like, oh, if my dad was here,
right,
my life would have been so much better. Every setting. So when I got arrested and I went inside, I had this dream that I saw my dad's car. There was a party going on. And he was meant to drop me to Wembley. For some reason, he's never come to England, you know. He's meant to drop me to Wembley to buy some hair. Because I love my little hair extensions and all of these things. And it's weird how a dream kind of morph into how we live our life.
It can.
You know, so he's going to drop me to the shop. And I said, oh, Dad. And I sat next to him on the car. I'll never forget, the car that I had saw in the dream was the last car he had when he was in Jamaica. And I put his head next to my head. And you know when you're sitting next to him in the car, and I was like, Dad, I love you, you know. And for some reason, my mouth ain't moving. I'm just hearing this in my dream.
Mm.
And then for some reason, I saw the car leaving me, going. And I said, bye, Dad. And that was in prison. And I think I woke up from that day, and I started to read my Bible a bit more.
Mm.
And it's almost like everything I was reading in the Bible was coming to pass. Everything I'd pray, people were coming, and things were changing.
Mm.
And I was like, looking back now, I'm thinking, it's almost like my dad was with me all along.
Right. Mm.
And for some reason, he knew that he could pass on, because that's how I read the dream, because I literally cried for this man from I was 12.
Mm.
I went into prison when I was 31. Do you know what I'm saying? So I've been grieving for a very long time, and you don't get over it. But guess what? I realized that when I come out with this mindset now, and I'm helping people, my dad was known to be a kind-hearted man that would take off his trainers, his last trainers he would give to the guy next to him, his friend. That's how much of a man, the legacy he's left, because he's a very kind-hearted man. Mm. He would feed his, when he sells drugs to the, you know, when you told me that story about the guy,
becoming friends with the thieves,
you know, become friends with women. My dad will cook dinner and said, stop, you need to eat before you, that's the dad I had. You know, he's cooked food for them, and he'd make sure they're all right. Come off the street, like, buy kids nappies and stuff for the ones. You know, in America, where they just put everything in front. My dad was the one that would do that. So,
deep.
You know, I became this person in prison. I'm there grieving, and I'm breaking to my, and I started helping the women in there. I started feeling for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just dropped everything. I don't care what it was. I'm like, come, man, come, let's do this. What? I got served deportation paper. Come and let's write your deportation thing. They're not going to deport you. Are you mad? And I just started writing for people. And it started changing me for some reason. Because,
yeah,
you know.
That's real, man.
And you know what? It's deep real. How life puts you in situations where even though it looks like you're in a bad situation, there's actually a purpose for you in that situation. Yes. So while you're there, you're actually saying, well, there's a reason why I'm here, you know. Mm. You see all of that stuff that's happening. I actually understand it now. Mm. Because sometimes you don't, at the time when it first happens, you're
don't
like,
make sense.
You're, thinking,
you're blaming yeah, everyone.
I'm thinking, like, why are you bringing me? It's my bad.
Of course, of course.
It's my actions. Yeah, like, God, why? Why? I prayed for bail and you still have me.
But it makes sense after, innit?
You know, there's naive way, like, not taking accountability, because I like accountability now, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense, though.
You know, you have to take accountability for your actions. God don't put you in places.
Nope.
Your choices put you in places.
Yes, thank you.
Leave you.
Say
so
louder.
Even if I was in a gutter and I slip and put in the gutter, God never put me in the gutter.
Right.
He came in the gutter because I got slipped and went.
Right.
And he came to pull me out to give me a lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And because I grew up in a church when I was younger, but I wasn't going to church when I was young, he never left me. It's all about seeds as well. You see, once a seed's planted in you from your young, even if you used to read the little Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, the little simple psalm.
Mm.
These little things, you know, saved me in there, you know, because I don't know much about the Bible.
Right.
And people call me Bible basher. But yeah, because you know the little jokes when they say, oh, to one of you in your Bible, whatever, because that was all I had there, like,
right,
as comfort.
Right.
So for some reason, my comfort started helping me, because I never knew those things were going to happen. People are going to come in. I'm starting writing poetry. Poets are coming in. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, God's listening to me. Yeah. I'm praying about things, and I pray about stuff with my kids. You know, I fear that I don't know what to talk to them about in school. And I remember watching DVD, and it says City of Gods. Is it City of Gods? I don't know if you know that film.
Yeah, of course. Brazilian.
City of Gods. No, not City of Gods.
What film?
Gods of Egypt.
Oh, but what? Like, what about actors?
I have Horus and
Of course. Yeah.
Basically, I had that DVD in my room for a while, and I had it for like 2 weeks. Never watched it. Just left it there. One Friday, I picked it up and I watched it. And you know when I called my daughter that evening, she said, "Mommy, you know I had assembly today." She was talking about school, and she said, "You know, they had a performance, and it was Gods of Egypt. That was the title."
Right.
I dropped the phone, and I'm like, Whoa,
what's going on here?
Yeah, and this was after certain other things, so I was freaked out, but I started smiling a bit. I started to own these little messages, because that was my fear. Nobody never knew that I was scared to not have nothing to talk to my daughters about. So there was someone there that was helping me, and I just started owning it, I think, you know, and my healing just started from then. So I think grief, I think I kind of transferred that love and relying from my dad to God.
Okay.
And an amazing thing started happening. And that's when I learned to let go, because it's not easy.
Trust
me. So I think holding on to God, he helped me to heal from it.
Faith.
And to help other people that are going through grief, because it's not an easy thing. It was my dad's birthday. Yes, today's what, the 6th?
Yeah.
Is it?
It was my dad's birthday yesterday.
With the 5th?
Yep. Nice. It was my dad's birthday yesterday. And I just look at it and thinking, rah, there was times when I used to be all sad and whatever. I'm proud now. Because I know he's proud, you know, of what I'm doing and helping
course,
other people.
Of course,
and it doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done, it's who you become.
Trust me.
That's it.
You know what I mean? It's who you become out of the whole thing. And yeah, that's just it. But with the grief, it's a tricky one. It's kind of where you have to just decide that you letting go is the greatest gift you can give them because of how much they love you.
Right.
I feel like,
do you know what
you're
I mean?
Never ever gonna get over something, but you learn how to,
because the legacy's left.
You know
who you lost, right? You know how they loved you, right? You know what they've left you with. That's only for you.
So
it can never be for nobody else. So they left you their legacy and their love, and that's what's gonna keep you going. They've gone, they've done their time, and they've left you with something beautiful. You focusing on the death misses that gift.
Yeah.
You overlook that gift.
I think, you know what, I feel that's why Jamaican people have nine nights, you know.
Yeah,
because, you know, I've never understood a nine night.
Neither have
I was always like, bro, why are we all celebrating? I used to get me mad, you know. They'd be like, yeah, we got the nine night. Everybody, I got the nine night.
Yeah, but you know, Jamaica, they make everything in a party. You know?
No, but nine night.
You have a nine night dance.
No, but nine night in Jamaica is different to nine night over here.
Yeah, cool.
Nine night in Jamaica is a proper rave.
Yeah, it's
a turn. I've never been to a turn up like that in my life.
There's four different meat going on. We're talking about the killing a goat, the makil cow.
Yep.
the bucket.
Chicken.
Animal chicken, everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a turn up. Because everybody likes to, what I say, they like to celebrate the person's life instead of grieve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Really and truly, we are supposed to just
you are.
Celebrate
you
and
are.
Move on because they're gone on. Mm. You don't know what they've passed on and gone to. Look
it's true.
The world today now.
Mm. It's true.
Like, it's not even about grieving about the person that's gone on. You just think they've passed on.
Yeah.
Their journey. Because what's going on in the world, it's very,
are they even missing that?
What's your thoughts on forgiving people that have wronged you? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a work in progress. I don't think it's just achievable with just one attempt.
Right.
Because it's a reoccurring thing. And I think when the devil wants to hold you captive with things, he's going to use a lot of things that you're hard to, you struggle to overcome.
Right.
Which is right. One of the things, forgiveness. Do you want my personal take on it?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Because I've been in a position where I've forgiven a lot to an extent where I've forgiven certain people where I don't have to be around. You can forgive people and love them from a distance.
Of course.
Of course you can.
Because what it is, you have to love and appreciate yourself to know that not everybody deserves that place back in your life. You can forgive them from a distance, but you don't need to have them in your
life. I've done that with many friends.
And they make you feel like they need to be in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what stirs up the whole thing that they did to you in the first place. When really and truly, you're trying to forgive and move on.
Yeah.
And you're trying to say, yeah, okay, I've forgiven you. I've got my peace. It's time to move on. But you see, forgiveness, someone said it's like drinking a poison, expecting the person to die if you don't forgive them. Because guess what? You know when you said something happened to someone, which is the karma that things go wrong.
Yeah.
Not until you let go, whatever's meant to happen to them. Not that we wish anything bad.
No. Yeah, it's different.
We all know that actions bring consequences.
Every time.
Good actions bring good consequences. Yeah. Bad actions bring bad consequences. When you do something to someone, it doesn't just go to waste.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Even sometimes when I do or say something or I tell a lie or whatever, it comes back around.
Facts.
It comes back around. So I feel with forgiveness, you kind of have to say, I love myself enough.
Trust me.
And I respect myself enough to let go to wish them well. Because
trust
you know
me.
What? You're not doing it for them.
Guess what? You're doing it for every time.
It's for you. So you have to have that certain amount of self-love to know that I'm loving myself for giving that person. Because they... I'm so much better than this. It's kind of one of them ones, you know? I'm so much better than this, and I want to grow into a better person so they don't win. Because if we stoop low on their level all the time, guess what? They're dragging us down to their level, and we're agreeing with it. We're signing up to it. We're like, yeah, I'm down on your level, hating you. No, I don't want to hate you. I wish you all the best.
It's not worth it.
But it's, because my forgiveness thing is, I don't have to be around you. I can forgive you and move on.
Simple.
You go do your way. But a lot of people, they get forgiven and they think they deserve a place still in your life.
100.
It doesn't work like that. You decide who is in your life. You
every
know?
Time.
You're in control of your own happiness and your self-love and your journey. And you should not feel guilty about not giving yourself that.
No, you're right. We neglect
ourselves, you know?
No, you're right.
The things we go through.
I've always felt victim of that. Because I can say it with Chester's in the idea of I've held on to things for so long, and I felt like if I forgave someone day one, until I realised, I'm never going to get right until I just let the idea go that anyone's winning anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let go for yourself, because more time, if someone does you wrong and you're still hating out there, they're still living their best life, you know, while you're at home just resenting, hating them, and they're just living a great life.
It's okay to feel how they make you feel though, and ride the
wave. Of course.
Because sometimes when people like do certain things, and you forgive them, you know, and then like a month or 2 months, and it come back in your head again, the devil ever throw it back in your head again.
Hold on, I forgive this person.
Why am I feeling like this again?
You know what happens?
It's a maintenance.
No, it's true.
You have to make a difference between pardoning and forgiving. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't know this. Forgiving someone is that you've both acknowledged that you've done something messed up. I swear on these episodes. Someone's done something messed up to you and you've found it in your heart to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, forgiveness doesn't mean I let you back in. Doesn't mean to that. Pardoning is a whole nother level a level of mental, winning. Pardoning is when you've done something to me,
mm-hmm.
I have not even acknowledged it, but it's happened, mm-hmm. and I've just let it go to the side, and I've just we've just moved on right. instantly.
Yeah,
that's pardoning, and that's greater than forgiving, and that's why I believe that anyone who has the ability to pardon will have a great mind, because you won't be taking everything to heart.
Exactly, I was going to say that
because when you take too much,
peace,
on,
you know, yeah. that's a sign of peace.
I'm not letting no one's yeah. evilness peace. Or bad yeah. mindedness make me.
When it goes over your head, you're not even vibrating on that level.
No,
you're vibrating on a level where you're seeking goodness and greatness.
That's it.
Do you get what I'm saying?
That's it.
So they're just down there hoping that they would feed off the reaction. Of them facts. Hurting you, when you really and truly you're overlooking all that, you're getting new blessings.
Trust me.
You know, mercy's on you every morning. You know, my thing. You know, when Storms said, "Blinded by your grace," and mercy's on you every morning. I wake up. I said, "Mercy's on you. What you got for me?" I'm blinded by your grace. I say things like that because I want to dominate my day. Because I know that people will either ring you with some crap. Or some situations you go out there, or like arguing with the cabman, or you know what I'm saying? These are real stuff, you know, that will just bring you down and make you remember about the thing that you forgive someone 10 years ago. And because you're having a shit day, you remind you again. That's how it goes.
Yeah, come down, yeah.
You come back in your head for come and add to it. You know, it's a misery love company.
Trust me, it really does.
Listen,
you know.
One negative thought, you see 10 more coming. Whereas if you're on a spiritual growth or you're trying to elevate to another level, one negative thought, you see 10 more coming in quick.
Yeah.
This is some backup. Yeah?
I believe that.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Control.
I've lived in a negative space for 80% of my life. So being negative long, and being dark and being evil and being that, that's a very easy thing for me. Mm-hmm. I'm very easily done by that. As time went on in my life, I started to realise and recognise that flaw inside of myself. That flaw inside of myself made me understand that I need to follow a greater purpose than my actual self.
You have to.
Yeah.
And I believe that most men don't actually understand what purpose is. They think purpose is to make money, take care of your family and all that.
None of
There's
that.
A higher purpose to life in general.
Beyond.
Once you can find that purpose... Your living is not for people. So my actions are not for people. If I do good to anybody, I'm never doing it for you. Let me tell you something from now. I've never done something for people because I've realised you do something for people, people turn around and spit in your face after. Then you're going to feel hurt and demoralised and feel like, oh, 100%. This person's ungrateful. And it's going to affect you mentally hard.
1,000, yeah.
But when you do things for like a higher purpose, like I'm doing it for my Lord, bro. Like I don't care if people even thank me or say thank you or nothing. I don't care whether you spit on me or not, or
you're
say thank you or not.
Because it's part of your journey. It's yes, part of who you are.
It's true.
Yeah.
And
it's building me. See what I'm saying? And I feel like in life in general, if you don't learn how to forgive and pardon, you'll never be able to have peace of mind. You'll never have. And
that's important.
Forgiveness is so important, yeah,
it
in
really
just like
is.
Friendships. Because as a friend, you will make mistakes against your friend.
Of course.
You might bust a joke one day and he doesn't like it. And your friend says, you know, I don't even respect what you said.
You're human,
you
man.
You know what, my brother? I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah,
I don't even mean that, you know. And that little communication there is the reason why your friendship's long.
100.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? Not that. I'm sorry, but brother, you done it. No, own it.
Yeah.
Take full accountability, brother. Like, if I've done something wrong against you, I'm taking full accountability. There's no excuse why I've done it. I've done it. I'm sorry. Can we move forward? If you don't want to chat to me again, I even understand if it's that bad of a thing that I've done to you. I'm ready to own that feeling that I've done to you.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you get to that point in life already. Where you can do that, you've got to like a great stage inside of your mind because now you're aware of other people's feelings and how you make them feel. Because that's very, very important. I feel like sometimes we go through life not even caring how everyone else feels. It's all about how I feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying don't be selfish sometimes. You have to be selfish.
Right. You have to consider how we come across and how other people
to the people that we love. Yeah. To the people that we love.
Because that's part of respecting them and you deserve the respect back.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that you're all down to boundaries as well. Because sometimes we put out so much respect for people and they don't give it back. And we feel compelled to be around them all the time. No. Because then that's going to stop your growth. It needs to be reciprocated. That's why with boundaries, see, when you're on a self-growth or you want to choose to like do something better with your life, it's so hard to shed off the people that you're comfortable with.
It really is.
Because when you fight 90% of the time, they're not giving you what you deserve, what you're giving out to all these other people that are highlighting you and seeing the best in you. You know, these other people that are on the sidelines that, oh my God, like, as you're an amazing person. And the person that you're feeding into, they're not even giving you that energy.
Trust me.
And you're thinking, well, why am I here?
Yeah.
Hold on, because I've spent too much time around, got too comfortable. Now you're comfortable. You can't even bother to respect me.
Trust me.
Or my boundaries. Or to even value anything that I'm doing, or you know what I mean?
Trust me.
So it's about putting up boundaries, man, and just move on. I just don't feel no way.
That's why I said I tolerate zero disrespect.
Mm.
I tolerate 100%, zero disrespect.
100%.
And people might think, oh, but you're being a little bit harsh.
No.
You see the moment that I feel like you're violating me and disrespecting me? I'm going to express it to you. See if you don't take on what I'm saying.
I'm out.
Then you're out.
I'm out.
See that self-love there?
I'm out.
See that self-love there?
No, but I'm saying...
Do you see that self-love?
I'm saying to you, the way I'm doing it is so cold. That is... The way I'm doing it is so cold. You're going to think that I'm evil.
Yeah.
I'm blocking you on everything and I don't want to even hear from you ever again. And if you call me on private number, you best be able to answer the phone and say, who's this? And once I realise it's your voice, I'm locking off. And I'm never answering my phone.
That's self-love, though.
But the thing is, yeah.
That's self-love.
I used to think that
and
I was
when you build them on everything and they come on private number, nah, man. They're just... The devil send them.
Straight up. I mean...
You get blocked and you're trying to get through on private number.
Because see that's me, this is what I say to everybody. Mm-hmm. I always begin every single conversation in my life with respect.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that to everybody is because I want you to know that I respect you initially. The moment I see you disrespect me is the moment that there's no more respect there. I have no more respect for you. It's the whole thing is disrespectful now.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I feel like you don't respect me. And remember you were talking about boundaries.
Yeah.
That's my boundaries.
Yeah.
Everybody I meet, every single human being, my mum raised me as a respectful young man.
Yeah.
And I love my mum for that. You taught me very good lessons, mum, and I love you. Thank you very much. She taught me to be respectful to every individual, whether you know them or not, whether they're in a worse position or you're in a better position.
Give them respect.
Even if the poorest man on the road is a tramp and everyone's like, look at that crackhead, I'll give him my respect until he disrespects me.
Yeah.
That's when the whole thing is over. But I give everyone, so once that person crosses that line of disrespect, the reason why I take it so harshly is because I know I'm a respectful young man. And all you're going to bring out in me is total disrespect now. So it's best that I leave the situation, because you're going to say I'm the bad person in the end, even though you started in disrespect. I'm going to be the most disrespectful person that you've ever met in your life.
Yeah.
And because I'm Jamaican, it's going to come out in a maddest way. My work, my mouth is going to come out sick on you. So what's the point of me doing that and lowering myself, and if my vibration levels go down and I'm thinking stupid, immature 10 years ago, we're gonna see him lick man down, because I don't want to think like that, because I hear a big man speak like that. I'm like, big man, you're a 60-year-old man,
you're grown, for licking someone down. Like, you just need to go in church and ask Jesus to fix it. You just need to go in your faith and ask to God to fix it. No licking down at certain stage. It just brings me down to in the same cycle. When you reach certain stage, put it down, man, just put it down.
You know, like I got my like uncles in that. Yeah, they'll be like, say me, I lick him down and kill. Yo, you're 60 years old, bro. I lick down,
brother,
go sit down. You know what I'm in my head? I'm like, unks, please allow it, bro.
And they're walking with the hip, but they're lick down.
That's all tired on the couch, bro. Lick down, unks. Uncle's funny, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be that guy when I'm 60 years old, talking about, I lick my down. I don't want to be that guy. So, more time, if I'm in the situation where I feel like it's just a total disrespectful situation and it's leading me to have disrespectful thoughts, and I'm thinking, and I've explained to the person that I feel like you're disrespecting me, and the person keeps doing it, cut off instant. Instant.
Do you know that what you just said there, do you know that you've broken a generational curse?
What do you mean?
Go on.
Do you know that you have, because you know what, I spoke to a few people and they were saying something about generational curse. I remember this lady, the speaker, and she said there were certain things that her granddad wanted to do and he never got to do it, and she started doing it, and then she realised that the things that her older foreparents and uncles wanted to do, she's now doing it.
Right.
And people think breaking generational curses is some big major break curse and all of that. It's the little things that our foreparents or our uncles and our cousins, them that never got the chance to do. Because I think on some level, your uncle, if they had the knowledge and experience that we're having, that we're like not moaning about, but the things that we go through, people, the betrayal and all of these things, and look how we come out.
That's true.
But they never got the chance to even get that emotional intelligence to kind of know that, put negativity away, take the higher road.
Facts.
Blah, blah. Certain things that we learn in our generation, even though they're saying our generation is a bit this and this
yeah,
and that.
Yeah, of course.
Let's face it. We have this emotional intelligence because of the shit we go through.
100%.
Because of the stuff and the tons of relationship problems, the friendships that don't amount to nothing. All of these things carved us to make us better people. And if we have children and even youths or anyone that you come on your show, you're dropping piece of that
gems
to them.
Gems.
And you know, and it's those gems that's gonna get passed on one day. They're going to say, you know, I remember this guy from the, you know, the podcast. I was on the podcast and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, sure.
And that's how it travels. And I don't think anyone stops to actually realise that we do pass each other gems. We just don't see it.
Cause we do. Not,
there's no one in society that's going to come and say, "Bom, you know, you're actually saying this. Oh, my God." No, everyone's focused on themselves.
Trust me.
No one's not focusing that this person's actually adding value.
Trust me.
You know, this person's adding value to that person.
It gets lost.
No, they see the what you call it? I put up a status one time where they say they criticize something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't focus on the fruits.
Right.
They only focus on the bad.
Of course.
Something I said along them lines.
Human nature,
and
man.
It's that they just drawn to that first.
Of course.
They don't see the what it comes out to.
Never do.
They just look on the other side and just make you think. It's circumstances that make you look on that.
Trust me.
Yeah, man.
They never
do. You're going to make changes that differently and things like that.
Yeah, man, you have to evolve. You have to grow. It's funny when he says, "My dad's 75, and if someone pisses him off, he's still saying to this day, I get somebody to come shoot your blood clean." I'm like, but still, you're 75, you know.
You just got to love him because that's the only way they know.
He's 75 and he's still talking grease. I'm like, yo, pop, sit down, hold son.
Listen, man.
But nowadays, it's just funny because nowadays it's like, I feel like, do you know what, yeah? I swear I was deep the other day. I was like, do you know what, yeah? Like, I refuse to beef with a black man nowadays. I can't even get there anymore.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, as I'm getting older, things are becoming clearer. So, when I was a young guy, like, the aggressive energy of a young male was just, it was apparent.
You get to realise it's ignorance now.
But now I'm big 45, I think, what was I even on? But I had to go through the stages to realise, now I'm a man, it's like, what was I even on before? So now when I see a young boy, I understand the energy where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But as an older man,
they have to go through their process of not knowing the value of silence.
Let them go through it.
Let them go through it. That's so true.
I was there. And now, especially when you're a dad, it's like, you have to sort. But now, obviously, that the time we live in now is completely different. But every generation provides a different sort of knowledge and sort of things you can take from it.
Yeah.
So our old school mentality, we stuck in the 80s, but the 2020 is like different, but it's still relevant because we're like,
it's still relevant. But this is what I mean. People don't look, they don't look at, oh my God, look at the wells.
Do you know what I mean?
This. Look at this one's changing. Look at Hollywood. Listen, everything that's happening now, it was happening 100 years ago.
100.
It was happening 50 years ago. 100. It's just that it's what you're focused on, it's what you're conditioned to focus on.
Yeah.
There are other things around you that you can value, that you can have a peaceful life. You can have a trouble-free, peaceful life, paradise on this earth.
It really is.
If you have a certain mindset.
It's mad how mindset is.
Sometimes I wake up happy, you know.
You have to.
Just because.
Sometimes I wake up happy and I know what I've come through.
No, but you know what?
I know happiness.
I thought I was the only person,
listen,
man. No, I do this.
You have to have a level.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Of happiness, it's unhappiness in your life to know what true happiness is.
Yes.
Mm. Do you understand the feeling that you have that you just like it's all taken over you and you just value? I value my kids. Trust I look me. At them and sometimes I smile when I see them. I'm thinking there was just times when I woke up and I wanted to just hug them and I couldn't. Now I can. It's like I'm set for life.
Yes.
Feeling. Mm. I want to achieve everything. I want to just go and chase my goals. I don't care if I fail. I could start again because I've started from scratch.
Right.
You know them ones there. Mm. And it's just like, I'm just grateful for everything. I want to just pour my love to everyone. Sometimes I get a bit annoyed with the cabman. I mentioned that because sometimes the cabman pisses me off.
The but cabman's, you know what? Always getting drawn
no, because, no, because you know what? I used to think that I'm this horrible the person. Cabman. Like, cabman why am I trying drawn. To help people? And I mean, cussing with the cabman. This is what I, because we're hard on ourselves sometimes, you know, on our growth and not knowing that we're not perfect.
Never
we're
gonna
just,
be.
We're
never
just on a journey, be. And never we're never gonna be. And I just said, you know what? That's just me. I just own myself. I said, you know what? The cabman pissed me off, but you know what I do? I said, you know what? We end up in some debate at the end and some discussion after the argument. I'm thinking, always. You know what? Back in the day, it wouldn't be like that. It would be in a big argument, slam door, boom, bam, and exit. Mm-hmm. So you know what I do now? I try and manipulate my bad traits.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Respect.
Because when you own yourself and you look on yourself and you know like the things that you struggle with, you find a way to try and shed light to it. So eventually it goes. I don't argue with the cabman no more because I've put shed light to it. I've acknowledged that I do that.
Yep.
And I've tried to find a way how I can make peace at the end of my journey, because if I weren't looking at my traits and how negative I was coming across, I wouldn't have yet to work on it. Now I have positive conversations. I have uplifting conversations with the cabman. Do you get what I'm saying? I never would have achieved that.
But like, what was you on spot with the cab driver? Like, what was the issue?
Do you know what it would be? Sometimes they'll come with their energy in it and they're just very rude.
Okay.
Because sometimes you're out there and you're like having a good day, very peaceful, you know, having a...
Go on.
And then you go in the cab and then the way how they're talking to you, because not a lot of men have respect sometimes in certain settings.
Okay.
And when you're giving that respect and that's what you're oozing out, you don't necessarily get that back, whether from any setting. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like when I go into certain journeys, you have certain men are just like very rude and disrespectful, and they shouting and they're raising their voice and I'm like, just proverb, just calm down. Like, what's, but because they've had like, it's about understanding as well.
Go on.
Because they've had negative passengers before and customers.
They deal with you like that.
And it's about understanding, and because I know that and I can reflect on that. I see past them and I get to, I said, you know what? You've dealt with a lot of negative people, haven't you, coming in the car? And I said, you know what? And they start telling me about that. Do you
this is the journey.
I just took a shot. Because it must be because of that, because you don't know me and I ain't done you nothing. So it must be a reason why all this energy and you're angry and you're this and that. And it turns out where they've dealt with so much shit from customers.
Of course, we're human. We're human.
Things to them so much.
Of course.
They put up their guard. So they don't even know when a genuine person is actually coming in their cabin to just bless them with all the
everyone's
goodness.
Everyone's
you
just.
Know, everyone's there from like the all grateful and all that energy. They don't see that. They just see the other person that's pissed them off.
But when you like when you get angry, like do you talk yard?
Listen, 100%. Don't piss me off.
Yeah. Why is that always happening?
All of the cab man them head big for me, yeah? Look a big head man up, come try to tell me. Listen, I get in the most argument because they're always rude and I want to enjoy my journey. I want to enjoy
yes.
my journey. I want to get to my destination. No problem.
Big head boy.
But then there's always one that's always ready to test me. And I think the devil was using that. Because when I'm trying to like do everything else and go through life and think I've got everything under control, there's this one little moment
always.
To come try on my weakness. You know, then one day, because I'm always arguing with them,
trust me,
it always creep up. I always get a little rude one. But yeah,
you have to.
Yes.
What's your greatest lesson that you've learned this year?
This year?
What are we now, May?
Yeah.
What, 4 months?
Let me think about the greatest one.
5 months in.
I tell you mine, yeah? I've told you my greatest lesson. The greatest lesson I've learned, yeah? And, you know, I've heard this year after year after year after year. But me being the hothead that I am, from a situation that's too mad for me, my mind goes straight into self-destruct mode.
It's true.
So if something's paining me, or someone's trying to do something to me, or someone's trying to bring me down something, I go into self-destruct mode. Self-destruct mode to me is, this person's doing this, I need to eliminate them. I need to be eliminated. 100. I need to eliminate this person from the planet. What I have learned this year, and this is going to be one of the biggest things I've proper sucked this in, is do not react to everything 100. That is wants you to react to.
Oh God.
Do you know how hard that's been for me this year?
That is good.
Like, people have been trying to draw me out so hard, and I just sit back and I'm just like, I got so much things I can say
right
now.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
And I just don't react.
The realization that gets used as well, because you see, when you've got a weakness, or you tend to, like, what
people, you know, prey on that, man.
Yeah.
About you, it gets used. Because you know you've got negative forces and the positive forces.
Of course, of course.
And negative forces uses our little weakness to try and bring more. Of course. Those things that you struggle with, you probably get it 10 times more than I would get, because I don't struggle with it.
100%.
That's true.
And for you to, like, reach a point where you recognise that, and you kind of see a way out.
I've recognised it to the biggest of my things.
And you shed light to that, which takes the power away from it.
Yeah.
I just know
that is it. When you
write the maddest comment under my video, right, do anything about me, like someone on the road trying to draw me out, try to cut me up, do something, the first thing I say is, don't react. Think first, act later.
This,
I could write something, and the thing is, I'm very sharp. Mm-hmm. I'm sharp with it. My tongue's sharp with it. Mm-hmm. You diss me, I'm dissing you back. We have a custom match, brother. I'm not losing, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that this is not always the correct way. Mm-hmm. Stop gross, letting man. People trick you out your position, bro.
Yeah.
They've been doing it your whole life. Don't you get it? Start to not react.
A lot of quotes that say it's not everything that needs addressing.
Yeah,
facts.
Some things are said to distract you from your vision.
Ooh.
Whatever you're working on. Some things were designed to distract you on your journey.
Imagine.
Especially if you've made a choice. Because only you know what choice you made when you wake up and you say, you know what, I want to be a better person.
Of course.
I want to actually go and achieve this. 10 things are lining up to come.
Oh my Lord.
Either ring you to tell you about something that happened 5 weeks ago or something. And, you know, I was talking to someone in a nail shop 2 weeks ago, and she was talking about something positive. And I was talking, you know, 3 people trying to ring her.
Mad.
And I smiled because it's happened before.
Mad.
You see, sometimes the girl was listening to something I had to say, and she asked me a question, and we opened up to a nice little debate, and her phone started blowing, and her phone went ringing at all, like, for the whole time. It just started ringing when we touched.
Energies are real, isn't it? Energies are real, man.
You know what I mean? And I could tell that she was taking a little gem for her little life and her little relationship.
Facts.
And she was in distress. Do you understand what I'm saying? And her phone just blowing, it just shows that. Things are sent.
It's true.
You just have to figure it out. Because what I do know, I say to people, I figure out the devil's patterns.
Mm-hmm. Trust me.
Patterns don't lie.
Don't lie.
And that's how you recognize people's intentions as well.
100.
You see, because people don't fake their patterns, you know. They can't do it. They think they can, but they can't.
They can't.
You just see the things they say, and you know they're not about nothing. Because if they value their words, you know they're not going to value yours.
Yeah, you have to be. Yeah, and the thing is, and that's the thing. Yeah, you can't put out like every fire, man.
Mm-mm.
And it's not meant to either.
You're not meant to put out every fire.
You're not meant to. Why? Why would you do it?
Battles where that's not for us.
100.
You know, there's battles for us, and sometimes we can just be still. I love this. That's what I learned.
You know what's mad? You know what's mad?
Go on. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that, you know.
What?
Yeah, I'm not lying to you right now. I was going to write that down right there. Yeah. I swear that I'm not lying to you. I'm not lying to you.
Let me tell you something. You've had years of being independent and just self-relying on yourself.
Starts to hit, man.
You start to think that everything you got to deal with, everything you got to handle, every move you got to do, and if it...
Yeah, instinctive.
Still brings so much more than I could ever grasp for myself. And I had to learn to just surrender.
Simple.
Because when you're, you know, there's a lot of people out there that's been on their own.
Mm.
I remember 50 Cent, there was a quote that he said, you know,
jeez,
I've never had no one
to run back to.
To run
yeah,
back
yeah.
To.
Yeah, I know you don't. I thought you said one.
I loved it because when you don't have that person to run to or whatnot, you become this warrior.
You have to be.
But then you have to look at yourself, like, and be like, okay, I'm becoming the warrior, but you got to be careful. You got to manage it properly. Or is it going to be a cold-hearted warrior?
Trust me.
Or a bitter warrior or whatnot? You know what I'm saying? And he said, you know, he never had to run back because there was no one to go to. And I think that's where he learned half of his ways. He's a powerful guy.
I'm glad you saw that quote, you know, because I remember him saying, like, who am I going to get? Me?
Who am I going to get?
Me?
Me? Run back to get me.
There's no one
and
there.
There's no one there.
There's no one
and
there.
And let me tell you something. He physically never had no one there, but for a lot of people in their life had people, but they weren't there. I've spoken to a lot of young girls that said their family didn't get them. They were in the family, but they were unseen. They were unseen. They were never loved. And I think that was the point when I said, oh my God, like, she's in a big family, but she said she was never seen.
And that's she's mad, isn't it?
She's mad.
That's a mad thing. I'm not going to lie to
you. She was never seen. And straight away, I saw her and I felt for her for a split second because I felt a little bit unseen. But I never knew until when I spoke to that girl.
You had her.
Sometimes we talk to people and they tap into things that we bury, you know.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Unintentionally as well.
That's right.
You know, there's some things lodged in you right now that probably... things that are lodged in me right now that I ain't even touched yet because I ain't just ain't met that person.
It's true to get it out of you. Yeah.
Do you get what I'm
that's
saying?
That's why this podcasting thing is incredible.
It's free therapy.
Yeah.
It's free therapy, man.
And you don't know, you don't realise the lives that you know how much people DM me and my co-host
100
you know what I'm like thank you so
suicidal
much.
Bro
I was about to kill myself
suicidal guys like, now I understand like,
this relationship I understand what was going on suicidal. I didn't know what was going on before brother as in the dark I didn't understand what was happening so I just felt like it was just no point living because how much I'm just going to be my life and I was just like brother and then we had a nice little dialogue and I dropped him some gems and after he was happy and you know I feel like if you can touch people's lives in a positive way in any settings, yeah, you've done something right in life in general.
You've won
like,
already.
I don't feel like I can change the whole world. I know I can't do that.
Of course not.
But if I can change one person's mindset,
you've already won.
I've won. That's me. I've done what I was put on this planet to do.
No,
if I'm honest.
You're right. Because I think the first my delinquent nation interview, I remember a guy reached out to me. He came up from prison, and he said he's been in his room. He said, "Thank you." Thank you, my sister, for speaking up for us.
Right.
I was talking my story. I never had no intention. Not that I never wanted to help anyone, but I'm just showing you the realness of it. Sometimes we're going and I'm shitting myself thinking I'm going to talk about my pain now. And that's what I was focused on. Not knowing about the people in closed doors.
Right.
Or indoors that feel like they're still inside. That's why, you know, my mentoring services that I started, that's one of my thing that made me wanted to do this is to help the people that's come out that feel like they ain't got a voice, they ain't got a back, they ain't got nowhere, nothing. They can't even create a destiny, like they can't even create a goal because they feel worthless and they feel like they're not worth anything, which is so wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? He said, "Thank you for speaking up for us."
It means a lot.
I just spoke my story.
Tell us about your mentoring service because I'm interested now.
You know what? I started a mentoring services and it's merely to sort of change the mindset of, because you see when I used to work with men with complex needs before going into prison, so
okay.
I've got a history of being a key worker
okay.
and understanding behaviours
okay.
of what prison can do to your mind as a guy and as a female as well. Now I've got the female experience because of going in there myself, but I feel like God gave me all angles of it.
Yeah.
I never knew I was going to get into that way where I connected. I remember talking to two young boys in my work setting, because I work with young people part-time, and I said to him one day, I said, "Listen, I think he was struggling and he didn't want to go to college or he didn't want to do something, and he's been inside." I said, "You need to remember who you are. Your life ain't done. You need to go and do this, not for nobody else, but for you, because you got a lot waiting for you." And I don't know where that came from when I said that to him. I'm being honest with you.
But
I don't know
where it came from. It was there.
But I wanted to connect with him so much because it's almost like I could feel his pain.
Right.
And I could see his potential at the same time.
Right.
I'm feeling the guy's pain and I see his potential.
Right.
This guy can do his thing. He can achieve his dreams and goals. And we have so much debates and topics and stuff like that. But this guy's struggling right now. And that's why I said, nah. I feel like I need to create a platform. I need to create a mentoring services where I'm going to help you to get a job. I'm going to mentor you getting a job. If it's the CV you want help with.
In the interviews, you want me to
boost your confidence. That's you're going to go in there and make them want you. You're not going to go in there and beg for no one's job. You are going to go in there. They're going to run you down. That's the mindset
that's a whole vibe.
That I want my mentoring services to give out to other to the clients. And that's what I've created recently. I've created it some time ago, but now I've redeveloped it and got a new logo and
track the thing.
You know what? And I'm gonna have like available booking sessions online. I'm gonna have workshops as well that I can hopefully go into youth establishments.
Do it all.
Young people establish, like, you know, like, you know, youth prisons. And I will go there and do like group sessions, and that's for the future. But for now, I'm doing like booking sessions and working with people if they want to help with their mindset or to get into a job, or if they want. Right now, I even help people with immigration because I got served deportation papers.
Okay.
So I've got an advisory service where I've helped two clients successfully already. They've got back to me and said thank you. They've done what I told them.
You're already up then. You're already up.
And do you know what I'm saying?
You're already
and,
up.
And I just felt good when she came back to me because I had faith in her that she was going to get it. And sometimes when you have good intentions for people, you know, it carries a lot of weight.
Of course it does.
Listen, it carries so much weight because when people come to me and ask me for help, I want them to win instantly.
100.
I just get that feeling where, listen, you asking me right now, listen, God love me and the love's going to pour right over you. So it's just going to work out for you. And that's what I carry in my mentoring services, you know. I want people to like, because I've seen how they pull you down in the system, by the way.
Trust me.
I haven't really shed on that. Part of the mentoring system is I've seen how the system holds you on a level where they make you feel like you're that, because that's how society looks at people that's gone in.
Of course.
And I know how to overlook that because I've been looked at that for the whole half my life. Mm-hmm. So going in there, getting it, I'm like, hello, shield, like armor of God. Mm-hmm. It's on here because I've been treated like that already, and I'm a person where if you treat me a certain way, I become immune to it.
Of course.
And I become immune to it and numb, and I had to deal with it in prison, and I had to do my healing because I was hiding underneath my pain and my scars, and just I was just surviving. I was just survival. You know when you're just in the wind.
That's all you can do, man.
So when you deal with your stuff and you realize how beautiful it feels after all the stuff you've been through, and you work through it, you just want to pass it on to other. You want to give other people an opportunity to just improve their mindset.
Because you understand
and
it.
Know that they're warriors and they're like, they can achieve everything they want to achieve. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I just want them to just achieve their goals.
Because
know that
been
they're
there.
Worth a lot.
You've been there. So hold on. So what's that? So what age did you actually go into prison?
2016.
And how long was the duration for? Like, how long
did you spend
it? And like, what do you feel like, what was your first day like? Do you remember your first day?
My first day
like
in Holloway.
Yeah.
Do you know
what? Was Holloway? Okay, yeah, I know that.
I went Holloway first, and that was the year they were closing, you know. Listen, I go and end it there.
Yeah,
that is. And find my little pink Bible that I still got.
Yeah, do you remember your first day, like how you felt, like the whole process?
It was a night, it wasn't a day. I went in when it was late, so they had to rush me. So I went in the shower and got my stuff, and they gave me my little package.
Yeah.
Your little tracksuit, your grey tracksuit, your jumper, your toothbrush. You know, you look at goodies
little package.
And and you're looking at these shoes thinking, what's this? Even Primark now have these. And you know, the tracksuit, them, they're so like, you know, because that was my mentality going in. Mm-hmm. I was very materialistic. Do you understand? So this is what you see when you're survival and you spend money and you shop. These things were covering all what I needed to work on without me knowing. Do you get what I'm saying? So I went into prison with that mentality, not knowing what was going to hit me.
But the reality was different, isn't it? First night is just like reality said, like you're in here for.
That was my survival mode.
Yeah,
that
survival mode. Survival mode. Yeah.
I got into survival mode because this is me. Like I'm going through another trauma again. Like, what do I cling to? There was nothing to cling to. The only thing I could cling to was what I was living for all my life. Like, what's that? Oh, I don't want this. No, and all of that. That's how I was thinking. It's the way of thinking that you're accustomed to for a certain time. Not that it's the right way, but that was the way how you kind of survived. Remember, going through breakup and going through when you have a partner, when you've separated from someone and they try to spite you because you've separated from the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they want to take it out on you and the children.
And a play victim.
Yeah. When you've gone through all these things and on top of everything, you're thinking everyone deceived you, everyone's let you down.
Mm.
You ain't got nothing to, like, you just might as well fix yourself up. You know what I'm saying? You might as well just, and I turned on myself and I just wanted, you know, I remember people were like, you know, I had a few friends who were like, oh, why are you concerned about getting this and getting that?
Right.
They didn't understand that I just wanted to feel that little comfort for a little hot minute because I was in the dungeon.
In a box, man.
In a box and... Mind you, it was not as bad as how I perceived prison, because I thought that everywhere would be dirty in the room, and it wasn't.
Why not that?
The conditions weren't as bad as how people said. The only thing that was bad was me being away from my children.
Of course, and of course.
I'm in a place where I've lost all my liberty, so I have to follow these rules by these officers and tell me where to go for the first
when
time.
When to go to all
that. Because I don't get told by people what to do and where to go.
Trust me.
And for the first time, that's what was happening, and I tried to just make the best of it. But I'm telling you, I don't think I slept properly. You got given a tobacco.
Yeah.
Like a free tobacco.
They don't do that anymore.
And me, as a cigarette smoker, you know, the posh cigarette and all this, yeah, I get tobacco, you're thinking, okay, start rolling, you get me? And that was it, really. It was just the night where I laid down in that empty room. It was just a bed, one kettle on the table over there.
That's it. Locked down.
The pillow was hard. There was some hard, like,
the most basic,
you know,
shit
them
ever.
Thick sponge and then a plastic over it.
Yeah, the most basic stuff.
Like, you put your head on it, yeah, and your neck will probably be in that position for the rest of the week.
You can't sleep.
That's how it was for that first night. God help me where they moved me.
Did you cry? Did you cry?
Did you cry your first night? Did you cry?
Be honest. What?
Your first night.
I'm not gonna lie. I never cried my first night. I was on some gangster shit.
Listen, I don't think.
I was like, I'm with the man.
I don't think I actually cried tears. Maybe I was crying inside. I felt like I was angry at God. This is what I'm saying. I don't know why. I was very angry, but that was my defense. I was like, what the hell? I prayed in the police station. Why am I here? I was in diva mode / with hurt and survival mode and everything, and just thinking, why did God let me down? I did not take accountability.
No accountability.
I was all up in myself, and I was just thinking hurt. I was very broken that night because that was the first time I realised I'm spending the first night without my children.
This is real life.
And they are my world.
Well, everything. Yeah.
They are my actual world, and I'm going to spend the night without it. And it was my fault. You know how hard it is to live with something where you know it happened because of you and your choices, your decisions. No, so it wasn't a good night.
But yeah, but
do you have any advice to young women going through trauma?
Because that you've already been through like your fair share. So
do you know what? The only advice I can give to someone going through trauma is it doesn't listen. You see when you go through traumas, you're left thinking this is it. Mm-hmm. You're broken. You're affected. You're this. No, you're being prepared.
Okay.
Every trauma prepares you. It's up to you if you choose to look on it as a preparation or a deterioration.
Right. Hey, brother, the thing was done, you know. The whole thing was done, you know.
Was it?
You're pouring nothing, you know. You know, I saw you pouring nothing.
Long?
Brother, you was pouring nothing.
From how long?
Brother, I saw you pouring
and
nothing.
Half.
Brother, but I'm saying, just a minute ago, you poured nothing. That was one drip.
It's enough to keep me going, man.
So basically, what I was saying, you was pouring empty.
Not the whole time.
I'm trying to listen to you.
Not the whole time.
It's like this. Look,
hold on.
He's done this
looking
one.
From here, do you not think it looks like there's a little bit there?
It looks like it.
Yeah, right.
No,
right.
That little bit that's at the bottom.
Listen, I'm a Jamaican man that can drink here. It looked like
it does look like it.
Don't look like that.
It's not.
I'm not that wave.
Sorry.
I'm not that wave.
No. Let's go back. Go on. Advice to a young woman going through trauma,
you're being prepared
for him.
Do you understand? And too much people get bogged down with their traumas thinking it means tear down or hold me down or stuck or they say, I got low self-esteem because I've gone through this. No, stop speaking what society's telling you. I'm not saying some people don't go through that, but it doesn't apply to everyone.
And I can't.
Do you know what? You need to find out what your trauma's telling you, because let me tell you something. My traumas brought me here today.
Facts.
Mm. I can love my children in a very beautiful way.
Yes.
I don't scream at them. I don't chat take the ting. Out my frustrations on them. I enjoy their presence.
Yeah.
You understand? I enjoy their time and attention.
Of course.
And I go out with them. And it's all because I've become who I've wanted all my life. Because I've never had a mum. I've never had a family setting. So I create that space for my children. And my traumas brought me to that. Because I made a choice.
Do you know...
That's interesting.
I'm going to get a little bit deep tonight with you.
Get deep, bro.
I'm going to get deep with you a lot. You know, saying that you never grew up with a mother, yeah?
That's mad.
Did that make you want to... Does that make you love your children just a little bit more?
Do you know what? Let me tell you the person I was before prison.
Go on.
Let me tell you the person.
Okay.
Yeah. Before prison, I wanted to just make their money because I never want my kids to not have no clothes. I want to make sure that they have all the best. They had all these shoe stands, all the latest trainers, every brand, every colour, every clothing, everything was just their toys. They even speak about it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, mommy used to have all my toys we used to have there. Yes. I was loving them through material stuff because that was my knowledge. Do you get it? Mm. And growth and in time, now coming out, I realise being inside where we write to each other, and it was so special to them because they never had me and I never had them.
Right.
And the little cards that we made and the little simplicity and stuff. I think now I can actually love them a bit more. Mm-hmm. Genuinely, mm-hmm. because I never had a mom, because how I wanted to be loved, I'm giving it to them. And guess what? It's working, because every little thing that I liked, when I do it to them, they're like, they give me that little smile.
Yeah.
How does
it really know? Yeah.
And that makes it special. The look that they give me, that, you know, my second one, she got these chinky eyes, and she just look and be like, mommy, you know, like, mommy, how do you know? Because I know. Because that's how I feel you should be loved. And I think when you trust your heart, you never go wrong. When you work on yourself, by the way, I'm not talking about the trauma-related feelings, I'm talking about real heart feelings.
But I suppose you say you never, so you never knew your mum, like, any part, like, did you ever search for her or try to understand?
Well, do you want me to touch that subject?
Because of course. I mean, we're here now.
Well.
Like what's, how was that whole process?
A lot of interviews I've heard that I've never had a mum. So you guys are going to get the exclusive now, where I've got in contact with her when I was...
Really?
When I was 19.
What was that like?
And I think a number was passed to a cousin in the family.
Okay.
And someone then wanted to pass it on and all these kind of bad
problems.
And I finally got a number because I heard that my brother passed away in Spanish Town. It killed him in a shop.
R.I.P.
That was her second son. Because I'm the third. I've got two brothers. One died on her side. So I think she got in contact with me after he died.
Okay.
Some sort of, let me search for the other child. You know, I just lost one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're in contact now. We're on the phone. We're talking. She'll send me a little change from America. I feel really good for the first time. I got a mom, you know. Hey, mom. Call in.
Of course.
Seeing all of these things. Now, over time, I realize that it's just all this expecting and it's just being crushed.
Mm.
I'm expecting this woman to actually be a mom. My perception of how a mom should be.
Right.
And she wasn't meeting any of that. And I still, we would argue for certain things for me, thinking, oh, you know, I went into labor. How come you never called me and you knew I went into labor? You know, little things like that. It wasn't silly arguments. It was things that I think a mom should be able to step in and even offer a little phone call, or even show that they care about
support,
the situation.
Just a bit of support. Yes.
And
yes.
their response would be, oh, but and gone into some like quick explanation of why they didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry, no accountability, just excuses, and then blaming that I started the argument. Now, this carried on for a while where I started believing that I was this troublesome person.
How old?
18, 17.
And she was in America at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's gone back now. It's triggering me now to think, this is what my side of family was thinking of me. This is the person that, oh yeah, so they were right. You know, because when you start hearing, I'm talking about when you're circled around negativity and when people are not loving you the right way, when you react, they define you, you know.
Of course.
They say, this is you.
Of course.
Yeah, man, I'm not loving you right, but yeah, how you're reacting, yeah, you're horrible. This is how they that's how their mentality is. So over time, we would argue, we'd hang up, then we'd make up. I have the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to move to America.
Okay.
Going inside. Not a lot of people knew that.
Okay.
Get all my money ready, everything packed, ready to go America. Boom, thing happened, I got arrested. While I was during my sentence, we were talking, but then we start get deep, because to want to start getting to writing, writing poetry, writing this and that, I write her a heartfelt letter, tell her exactly how I feel and how I feel like, I don't think you're giving it enough of what I feel a mom should do, because how I see it is, she would be quick to go on holiday, to go meet a man in Jamaica. Now, you're in your 50s. You're not coming to England to meet your grandkids and your daughter that you never had a relationship with, but you're quickly gone to Jamaica to meet a man. So now like I said to you, I start to pinpoint people's behaviours. And this is where I think half of my anger issues came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's people letting me down.
Right.
That's how I had to address it.
Expectations.
Expectations were crushing. Because I'm thinking, why is this woman that gave birth to... Because I can't understand it. Because if I had a child, I would want to be around him all the time. 100. I was broken completely in there with my mind.
Yeah.
But this woman would be more giving expectations, making promises, and not meeting any of them.
Right.
Over time, I'd write to her and then she'll write me back. All it was about was how what she went through, how she hard she had it, what happened to her. It was all about
never
her.
About you.
All about her. Yeah. All about her. Over and over and over. So it's all about her. Then I started to realise now, obviously getting the training, and I did a lot of qualifications through psychology and trauma-related training and stuff like that. I don't know, it's like the more courses I went on and I started educating myself inside, the more I could see through her bullshit. The more I could see through the things that she was just telling me to just cloud up everything, to just excuse it. But because I was very weak to that part because I needed a mom.
Mm.
I see people getting visits from their mom and it's just not a nice feeling because I'm thinking, I am not getting that. I will never get that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it taps into a lot of your insecurities about how you feel as a daughter that doesn't have a mom.
Of course.
So when you see the letters coming in, you start to realise that she's not actually explaining her past. She's creating excuses for the current because she's still that mom.
Right.
That don't care. That's why my dad put me where he put me.
With your
with my stepmom.
Stepmom.
Grew up in a...
So you understand your dad's choices now, so that makes you even love him and
even more. Right, even more.
Give me this.
Yeah. Even more.
This is what I'm trying to say
more.
To you. And that's why my grief turns into happiness now, because I can see what my dad did and I respect his choices and I see these are... For him to make that choice, he knew who she was,
right?
Why he took me away. Because I'm thinking, this man, he's not easy, you know. I'm taking my tour. How? Who has a breakup? And the dad just pick up their daughter and just walk out.
Right.
Do you ever hear that, really?
Like, never.
In Jamaica.
Well, the thing is, you don't hear that and you don't ever hear the mum even having that.
Never.
Jamaican mum, take away who's
daughter. Yeah, I mean.
But guess what?
Never.
See, my dad now, they love to call him as the aggressor. But that's what she used to refer to my dad as. But guess what? He had to be aggressive for a reason.
Okay.
He's not going to be aggressive for no reason.
Yes.
Now I hear stories about her. It's weird because now I hear a lot of stories about how she left my brother. So I shouldn't think of myself any different because the other two brothers, the one that died and the one that's in Jamaica, she never brought them up either. I was the third. So I think my dad saw what she done to the first
okay.
two. And guess what? Talking to her and she's always moaning about her mom and her sister, there's a sibling rivalry. I said to myself, this is not for me. Like, this woman has her own issues.
Yeah. Yes.
And I had to start this because someone said to me, how can you just, she's your mom, how can you not have a relationship? Listen, I've realized that nobody owes us anything in
no,
this world.
Nope.
Nobody owes us anything. It's our expectations that hurt us.
Yes.
She gave birth to me. It doesn't necessarily mean she has to be a mother to me.
Nope.
I became the person I wanted because I never had her. Do you understand? My children needed me. It's about moving on and
that's
moving
deep.
Forward.
No, trust me. Deep. You know how deep that is what just said.
Hella deep.
That was very deep because I've never ever heard someone say that, like, just because she gave birth, it doesn't mean like
it doesn't, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
But it doesn't though.
And you know why?
It doesn't.
Because I've met so much. I've looked back over my life and I looked at all my friends that I've had in college and how nice their mum was to me. And I reflected on that because I realized that this woman only gave birth to me. I belong to God.
Right,
all these miracles that I'm experiencing that I can pass on to people and you know, people are running to me with the application forms in prison. Like, why not fill this out because all your stuff going through. No, it was my mindset. Because that was my survival. I said, you know what? I've had just shit life, so I'm not going to have no more shit life. I have the best life now. Mm. That was what I started to do in prison because of how much people let me down.
Mm.
And not having the mum, not having the family setting, not in her. I've had families that's bashing me to people on the road. People have enemies and friends that do that to them. I had family members that were saying the worst. And guess what? Half of the arguments I did have with them, but it's because I was hurt, because I'm not getting the love.
Right.
That I was meant to get.
Seeking
it's
for.
It's not because I want to hate anyone.
Searching.
It's because of the reaction of not getting or felt love.
Yeah.
And they seem to see it in a way where they want to run and tell the whole world how bad I am. And that's when I started, I think God started using situations inside to say, no, Tawana, you're not as bad as what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I had dreams where my families were like shouting at me in the dreams and I'd wake up and I'd come across, like, I remember I was a peer supporter and I was in charge of inductions.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I came across a woman that was from Jamaica and she was in prison never spoke about this either. She was imprisoned for something that my aunt did to me years ago, and it was the abuse. You know, they're very physical, and when someone's beating you for no reason, and you meet someone that's in prison for that, because her daughter put her in there. Mm. And guess what? It turns out I was the one that turned on and helped her. And I look at her thinking, did God put this woman in my pathway for me to help her, because to help to get the forgiveness that we spoke about?
Right.
Because I never knew that, even though I said I've moved on, there was probably some part of me that God wanted to know that, have you moved on?
Have you really moved on?
Have you really moved on?
Yeah.
Let me put a replica and see how you're going to deal with this woman.
It's true. But then do you feel like, I mean, in terms of, you say you like looking for love, and obviously like your dad was sort of the prominent figure in your life. What was your relationship like with your stepmom in regards to like having the mother's hype?
Wasn't my dad's girlfriend. She was an older person for my dad.
Okay.
You know those older person that's, they can't have children naturally, so they grow up a lot of children in the community.
Okay, yeah.
And she's well off and very settled, and she's a teacher and she's well known.
Okay.
And she had that comfortable life, and you know, she was, you know, we had, you know, in Jamaica it was a big thing where, you know, you had a nice setting, shower, like flush toilet. It was a big thing in those days.
Yeah,
and you know, the big selling of phones and no phones in the community. It was that kind of setting, you know what I mean? And I think I grew up very sheltered as well, going to church on Sunday, having a nice little life, and that was very, I was in a bubble. You know what I mean? I think that's what made it hit hard for me coming over. You know, the changes. And to come here, to be shouted at constantly, being in an awkward situation, coming home from school and just in silence, or you're getting shouted at, all silence, or you're in fear that if you're late, you're going to be in problems. You don't concentrate at school, you become the class clown, because that's the only place you get to actually be, like, that's the only time my personality can actually be comfortable to come out. So I remember having my friends and we'd laugh and joke a lot. And I would not concentrate on no work, because I know that when I go home, that's it. End. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything end. It would just be in my room and that's it. It was just like a whole prison.
So it wasn't really a family type environment. A stepmom, like, would you say relationship was more...
I'm getting accused of
quite
things.
Distant.
Can I be honest with you? I'm the person now where, you see, if I was a thief then, I would say, you know what? I used to take better things and... I used to get accused for things that I wouldn't even dream of doing by people that I was expecting love from. Do you know what I'm saying?
Expecting.
And it's mad where all these people were accusing me of all these things that I weren't even capable of. They actually morphed me into the person that I don't even want to become. So it's a good thing that they accused me of these things. Because they shed light to it. This is how I look on it, you know. Thinking, okay, you accusing me kind of diverted me. Think, if I wanted to be that person, I'd be like, no, because I felt like, the, you know, that person already.
Right.
Because you've already accused me. When you accuse someone constantly over and over, they start to feel like that person.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So I think they curved me. So looking back, I don't hate none of them. And I can love them and forgive them and move on because the person that I am today.
Yes.
And because of the love I have for me and my children, I make peace with them. But I just see that they will never be a part of me because people are who they are.
That's it.
And they'll never. And I've proven that where I can forgive them and try again, but they will never change. You know?
This is it.
Yeah, they will never change. So that's just how it is going to be. But me, I like growing. I like evolving. And I just weren't made for that environment. I was meant to go there, learn some lessons and keep it moving. Why are you expecting to be loved in a place? Like I always say to people, you can't get milk from a rock. Just won't happen.
Simple.
Rocks don't give milk.
Simple.
And if the rock is just going to be a rock. And don't go there thinking, oh yeah, I just want some milk to drink. No, it will just never happen.
Yeah, you have to. It's not about who you were then. Like, it's who you are now, isn't it?
It's the friends, mums that showed me a little bit of love and all these little settings. I always had friends. I always get along with my friends' mums, and I've never actually had a man. They always take a liking to me. You know, they'll be like, "I'll come to one of my." You know what I'm saying? They always.
Energies don't lie, you know.
Listen, they always. I remember this woman on the train said to me because she was crying.
Mm-hmm.
One time I jumped on a train. Yeah, this was years ago. I was reading the Metro paper. You know, Metro paper is free.
Mm-hmm.
And she must have been crying. And I just looked at her and she went, she started drying up her tears and sniffling. And then she started telling me how she's crying. I said, why are you crying? She said her daughter got abused and she's going to go see her now. And she don't know what to say to her daughter.
Right.
I said, go hug your daughter. I said, go hug your daughter.
Facts.
love her and never ever make her feel like Facts. She ever got abused.
Yes.
There you go. Bye.
Yeah.
That was my attitude with
Straight.
It, by the way.
Straight.
You know what I'm saying?
It's deep, man.
And then you know what she said to me? She said, she stopped, she went, thank you. Your mum was so lucky to have a daughter like you. That's not, what not she knowing, said to me.
Not knowing that.
And I took that. I said, thank you. I'll let her know. But let me tell you something.
Not knowing.
You see, if I wasn't the open-minded person I was, probably I wouldn't have had that said to me. And it's for me to learn that, not because I don't have a mum, it's not that I'm not good enough to be loved by a mum.
It's nothing to do with that.
It's nothing to do with
all.
That.
Mm-mm. Is your mum still alive? Do you know?
Yeah, she is.
Still living in America?
Yeah, because what it is, the story, I never finished the story inside.
Okay, go.
You know what, when I was inside, I used to write to her. On my release, I made a decision. And this was a lot of decision that I made for self-love. And for my own mental health and for my own survival. I wrote her a final letter when I was getting released because I realised that she was toying with my emotions. And sometimes when you're on a journey and you're trying to better yourself, the devil will use little things from your heart, your weaknesses, and to tug at your heartstring. Uses people, you know what I'm saying? Facts. And I need to be able to surround myself with good people that are genuine.
You have to.
You know, I can't be saying, oh yeah, let me give them a pass, man. No, man, she gave birth to me, give me a pass. No, because it's... She's not evolving. She's stuck in her pain and trauma. She's trying to get love from her mom. I don't want to get involved in that. She's still young. She's still, in her mind, she's a child.
She is.
I was literally trying to get love from a child. And I became the mother figure.
Right.
And we were arguing because I'm maturing and she wasn't.
Mm.
So I wrote her a final letter and said, this is it. When I get released, I'm going to focus on my children. Back. I wish you all the best.
But...
And I have to just, yeah, do me.
Simple.
She took it, of course, as, you know, I'm having hate in my heart, which is most people. When I put my boundaries up, they say you have hate in your heart.
Yeah.
But that's something that I'm okay to live with because I love my children more than how I hate people. I don't hate no one. Do you understand? I just make decisions to Trust benefit me. Me and my children.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's who I have a, you know, responsibility for.
That's it, man.
That's deep, man.
Yeah. So, plug everyone in with your social media. Tell everyone where they can find you and how they can get at you. Social media.
Well, on my social media, my personal page is It's Tawana Blake.
Mm-hmm.
And my business page is T Inspire Limited, my mentoring page. Mm. And yeah, those two pages you can get me.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to get any mentoring or anything done, please get in touch with her. You know, she's got experience.
Been through a lot, man.
She's been through a lot as well. Trust I feel me. Like experience is the best teacher. I don't care how many qualifications
it's
you
irrelevant.
Have.
Mm-hmm. It's irrelevant.
If you don't have the experience to go through certain things,
trust me,
they're just never going to listen to you.
Life
because
experience.
I remember when I was doing like youth work and stuff, yeah, and I was talking to some little youths, yeah, and the reason why I got through to the youths wasn't because I was the most qualified person at what I was doing, but it's that they looked at me and saw,
of course,
that this guy... knows what
he's
talking about.
He's relatable.
He's been through what I'm asking him a simple, like, let me ask him a simple question, like, you see if your brethren's are up here, but like, you don't want to kill him because you're your brethren here, and then obviously he's a Muslim, and I'm Muslim, so I'm not allowed to kill Muslims, so what do I do in that situation? And I'm looking at the little youth, and he's like, not me, but it's like, obviously one of my friends, because I know, like, when man come to me sometimes, and they say things to me, they'll be like, yeah, I just got this, like, scenario that's going on, me and this girl, I know that. They said, but my friend's got a girl. I know they're talking about themselves.
They're probably talking about themselves, they don't want to say.
But they don't want to say. But I'll give them the best advice that I can based on experience.
You've been through it.
Yeah, brother, look, I'm telling you, this is how it's going to end up for you. And then when it does, or they don't, I'm there. Whether, you see some people here, yeah, they give you advice, yeah, but they make you feel bad. They make you feel bad. If you go back to them, they're going to say, look, I told you so.
Yeah,
so you never go back to them.
Yeah.
You take advice and then you're scared to go back to them.
Yeah. Because you know what they're going to say.
They know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
But then some people make you feel so comfortable. Even if you go back to them, they're still giving you more advice. And it's just
don't
love.
Don't worry.
The door's never closed.
Yeah,
it's
overflowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The door's always open. And I feel like if you can make that for anybody, any human being you can do that for, you can mentor them in the greatest way. So.
Yeah, because it's about giving people freedom to feel good, to make mistakes, to get back up. And
because we're humans.
Okay to make mistakes.
We are humans. I mean. Remember, we made our mistakes and got to where we are.
Facts.
Yes.
We can't expect perfection from them.
No.
Even people.
No, they have to fall down if it's 7-10 times, whatever, just be there.
And that's the reason why a lot of people, they're very harsh with their children, not remembering that they were children once.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Like, people are so harsh with their children that when they see their children making 100 mistakes and, oh, don't do this.
Let them.
And I understand that we don't want them to fall in certain things, but do you believe me? mean? That they have to fall into certain,
and they have to learn certain things as well. That,
and you know, have you ever heard? Yeah,
what did my mom say? No, my mom said,
"Life is not a bed of roses." Yeah? Mm. And I'd be like, "What are you talking about?" And you know what my mom said? She just said at the randomest times in just random moments, and I'd just be like, "Bro, this is not. I didn't even ask for this advice. Like, I didn't even ask for what you just said." But as I've grown older, I'm like, the situations that she said it, there was a lot of wisdom behind it. It's just me. I was just in my little world, yeah? I didn't want to hear them words. So sometimes it's like, you'll tell someone something, they might not even listen to you and go and do the opposite thing.
Yeah,
and
then when
they get burnt, you have to be ready to deal with them to say, right, you know, you've been burnt, yeah? So I feel like that's really, really important. That
no, that is true.
Like, you're... mentoring and stuff. So anybody wants to help any mentoring or anything, please get our pages. We're gonna have it's gonna pop up now, so you're gonna be able to see it, so you can get it. And
if you feel like you're going for jobs, you feel like you're not prepared, you feel like you ain't got no confidence, hit me up as well.
Straight
employability, I get you ready.
That's
started.
It, man. And that's what we need to do. Plug pushing that. People to them, getting them jobs, man. But yeah, man, shout out to everyone. Thank you for coming through. Yeah, and spreading that knowledge. Jeez, dropped
thank
a lot
you.
Of gems on
love
me personally.
For free gems.
Got a lot
me.
Of things from this whole conversation.
Leveling it up, innit? Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. And
well, love.
Yeah, no I appreciate
problem.
It.
Mine, come on, man.
And you guys got some exclusives. So, hey! So, yeah.
Alright, shout out. Next episode, come on. You know what to do. Like, comment, and subscribe.
We are champ, man. Deep in it,
I just did this otherwise.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.